Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Station.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You may know less about me than anyone.
That would be terrific. That would be great, huh?
Terrific. That was terrific.
Jeff Lutz.
That's what you're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about.
I mean, the only class in this act, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I heartily endorse this event or product.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer. 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Nice day again. How are you doing? How's life?
Life's fine. Nice day outside.
Want to expand on that a little bit?
Not
give us
really.
Some details?
No, there's no details to be given. Life is just wonderful.
And today, what's the best thing to happen today? What happened today that's notable?
It hasn't happened yet, I hope.
Really?
I hope.
Hasn't anything happened today that...
Nothing real notable. I wouldn't say no, not at all. I'll go home. I'll hang with my cat. I'll probably flip on KU at 5:30, watch that game against Michigan State, maybe watch a show or two before bed, and
you want to know what's notable that happened for us, Jacqueline, our administrative assistant. This morning, Jamie Green and Travis Hying from the Wichita Eagle came by, and they kind of showed us the first... 20 minutes or so of the Jackie Robinson statue documentary.
How'd that look?
Very good. Excellent. So that's...
Was I in it at all?
What?
Was I in the first 20
minutes? You were, actually.
Oh, my goodness. What did I say?
Very nice things about me for some reason.
Yeah. You want to put on a nice public persona there.
Is it just a public persona or is it what you believed?
I don't know what I said, so...
Well, you remember.
I assume I said stuff that I believed. I don't think I was up there making stuff up.
Well, I only cried three times watching it.
Interesting.
I didn't think I would. When my wife came on, that got me. When they showed the statue being taken, that got me. When they showed little Marcus, the seven-year-old, who came up to hand me $2, at the Saturday after the statue was taken, and we had a little ceremony over at the pavilion, and he came up and handed me $2. They have that on video, and that got to me. So, yeah, it's going to be an emotional tug of war when I see the whole thing.
Did I look good, or can you? It's a joke, man. Relax.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
That's very important to the whole
thing. It's obviously a joke.
Yeah, but there's times for jokes and there's times not.
I don't know about that.
Well, I think you questioned, should I say this?
No, not really.
Just from the look on your face. I could tell you were like, is this a good idea to say this or will this not be met well?
Well, I knew it wouldn't be met well, but I determined that that was.
If you're always going for the cheap laugh.
It wasn't a cheap laugh.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't really a laugh. It was just, you know, messing around.
But if your intent is to go for the laugh at all times, that's not gonna fly.
So if they showed you the first 20 minutes, does that mean it's done, or are the first 20 minutes
close to being done? They still have some graphics things to do. They still have to run it through the editing process. They still have some work to do, but we're hopeful that before the end of the year, we roll this out.
Do we have a medium on which it will be rolled out?
We're talking about that. We're in discussions. Something else had already happened to me today. I have a much more eventful life than you do.
Thank goodness.
I did a podcast with Paul Sullentrop and Mike Kennedy.
Really?
Looking back at the Mark Turgeon years.
Huh.
It's already been posted.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out.
So I appreciate being asked. So you always got to be in your A game when you go talk about Shocker basketball with Mike Kennedy and Paul. So, yeah, thought I did well.
What were your main takeaways from the Mark Turgeon era?
Well, I enjoyed that era. I mean, that Shocker basketball had been down for a decade, down and out. I mean, nobody could fix it. Mike Cohen got his shot. It was a disaster. Scott Thompson, good guy, nice guy, didn't get it done. Randy Smithson had some abilities, some talents, but ultimately he didn't get it done either. And then they go bring in Mark Turgeon from Jacksonville State, former KU guard. Former KU guard coming to Wichita State, didn't sit well with everybody. So he had immediate obstacles, but he made it happen.
There's a pedigree you want to cash in on. It's probably University of Kansas basketball. So question is, you mentioned Scott Thompson being nice. You've probably been alive for, what, 12 men's basketball coaches or so? How would you rank? Is Scott Thompson one?
Well, I'd have to go back and figure out if I've been around for 12.
Probably not that
many. Ralph Miller was the first one that I was around for. I never covered Ralph Miller. I can name them in order. Ralph Miller, Gary Thompson, Harry Miller, Gene Smithson, Eddie Fogler,
Mike Cohen,
Scott Thompson, Randy Smithson, Mark Turgeon, Greg Marshall, Isaac Brown, and now Paul Mills. How many is that?
Since Harry Miller, or Ralph Miller, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I was exactly right. Impressive.
Well, I liked, I didn't know Ralph Miller. Only think I interviewed him once, and it was for a difficult story that I wrote about his relationship with Cleo Littleton. Gary Thompson, his wife's father was a very good friend of my father. They worked together at Beech Aircraft. So I knew of him. I didn't know Gary Thompson, but later on after his coaching career, I talked to him several times.
I'm thinking Gary Thompson was around in the 60s. So you're like 10, but he's what, 40? And his wife's father is
worked
the same
with
age?
My dad. I don't know about the same age. Well, he worked with my dad.
Okay.
His name was Jim Gist. And so I remember that. Harry Miller, I knew a little bit. Incredible basketball mind. They had some characters on that coaching staff with him. And then after Harry Miller came the one and only Gene Smithson, and I covered that team. And if I do write a book, that 80-81 Shocker team and my time around that team would be a chapter.
I could see that.
Mike Kennedy and I should do a podcast on that season.
Maybe you should just do a podcast. Maybe you should just have a podcast.
Well, we gotta liven it up, man.
Yeah, it would help to have some life on that podcast. I would.
You're saying I don't have life?
Not necessarily in those settings. You and Paul. Paul brings the energy down a little. Let's just be honest. I mean, he's great at.
Well, you'll just say anything.
He's
won't
great,
you?
But I'm just.
What I call you on the show yesterday?
No, he does.
I think it's perfectly describes you.
No, it's not an insult. I'm just.
Oh no, that no, you couldn't. Paul brings the energy down.
No, his demeanor.
No, not an insult.
He's like a straight. He's just a calm guy. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't fire off insults. He doesn't. He's just, you know, he approaches the
Paul's
job.
Extremely funny in the right setting.
With a straightforward. That's all I'm saying.
Paul can be very funny, very bright,
I'm saying
very
when,
quick. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying it's a different
energy. I love
energy.
It when you dig these holes.
It's not a hole.
You're scampering to dig out of it?
I'm not digging out of it. I'm telling you what I meant by it.
Well, I just don't agree. I thought today's podcast had plenty of life.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
I'll bet it'll be one of the most listened to podcasts.
It very well could be.
And I'll get the numbers from Paul later.
You will?
Sure, later.
Okay.
After it's been out there a week or so.
Well, I'm interested to hear
Mark
about that.
Mark Turgeon is coming back to Wichita for the Northern Iowa game on Thursday night. He's going to be recognized as an inductee into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. And he'll get a big ovation because Mark Turgeon basically got this thing turned around after many years of futility.
Yeah, they did. They were very bad. And they were directionless, it seemed, for a lot of those years under those three coaches who were nice men, as you mentioned.
I don't know about you, man.
Mark Turgeon came in and was nice and got the job. What do you mean?
You're like every day on this show, you're just creating more and more enemies.
I wouldn't say that. Who's an enemy?
Paul Sullentrop.
Oh,
now.
I love Paul Sullentrop.
Mike Kennedy, to some degree.
What did I say about Mike Kennedy?
He said he's got to turn it up a notch. You said a podcast with me and Mike Kennedy wouldn't be very well listened to.
I don't think I said that at all.
That's what I heard.
Those words didn't come out of my mouth. But if I were doing a podcast with somebody, you'd say the same things.
No, right? I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
All right, well, I'm starting a podcast.
With
Mike Kennedy. It's going to be awesome.
He'd never do it with you.
You don't think?
No, not after today.
I love Mike Kennedy. Who doesn't love Mike Kennedy? Who doesn't like and appreciate Paul Sullentrop?
We love them all. I'm here to tell you. There's never been a doubt with me.
Nor have
I've
there
never
been
called
me.
Anybody low energy.
I didn't say that. I said his energy is a little different.
You said he brings down the energy.
He does, compared to you.
Well, I mean, that's nothing for you to say.
Just trying
that's
to be
not,
honest. Over
not
here.
Anything you're supposed to judge.
Stop picking at me.
Let
me have a free reign of conversation here. And if I get in trouble with somebody else, let me get in trouble with somebody else.
All right. You want to know what we have on the show today? Yeah. We had Brian Hanley on earlier a few weeks ago from GoPowerCat.com, but he also does a general Big 12 football podcast, and we're going to talk to him about what's happening in the Big 12. Brian was very good, former K-State offensive lineman, protected Michael Bishop back in the day. He'll join us at 2:25. At 2:45, Todd Rice, head football coach at Garden Plain, will be with us. And, you know, they play Beloit at home, so I got to thinking, I knew that way, way back, probably the coldest I've ever been at a football game was in Garden Plain.
Okay.
And I said to myself, I'm almost certain they played Beloit in that game.
I don't
know. So I got to looking, and lo and behold, in 1975 in the playoffs, they had a game against Beloit at Garden Plain that I covered, and I have never experienced a chill like I did that day.
back in 75.
Remember, he's not that old.
Probably not.
Very few people will remember that.
Where'd you go to look?
I just found it. I did a Google search.
Yeah, they lost.
Found some results of Garden Plain football. And fortunately, they go all the way back, at least with some of the scores. And I found that game.
They lost 20-0 to Beloit.
1975. Man, that was very early on in my full-time career at the Eagle. And I remember I couldn't get out of there quickly enough. I was frozen solid. I remember going back to the Wichita Eagle, the building on the third floor, and that was an afternoon game, and writing my story and thinking, man, if that's what this is all about, I better rethink something.
I'm glad I'm out of those elements. Can you tell me any of the schools you believe Garden Plain might have played in their inaugural 1939 season?
Well, no, I wouldn't have any clue. I would guess they may have played Cheney.
They
maybe
did play Cheney. That's a good one. They played Cheney twice. You won't get the others.
I would guess
because they're no longer schools. I don't
Renwick.
Think. No, they played Viola.
Viola.
Cheney, Bentley, and Atlanta.
You know where Atlanta is?
No, not really.
At least you didn't try to act like you did. Maybe you're gaining something. Atlanta's east of us. That's surprising.
It is. Atlanta had a high school. Who knew? I didn't know that. Beloit goes way back.
Our good friend.
1901.
My good friend. You remember Brian Holman, do you not?
Of course.
He once had a place out in Atlanta, Kansas. Now, I think he's since moved to the Pacific Northwest, and I don't know that he ever lived in the place in Atlanta for long, but former pitcher at North High, and then a starter for a little bit in the big league.
He was a no-hitter, didn't he?
Played for the Montreal Expos for some time.
Yes, he did. I'm going to quiz you on where these cities are that may no longer exist, or at least there are no high schools. Have you ever heard of Cocker City?
Sure, that's Wakanda East. Back in the day. Now, I'm sure that high school is consolidated, but I don't know what their name is now, but Cocker City was Wakanda East.
And in 1901, they were just Cocker City. How about Jamestown?
Sure, Jamestown. You've heard Tommy Thurber talk about Jamestown up in that north central Kansas area around Concordia. Jamestown had a high school when I was at the Eagle. They haven't had a high school for a while, but they used to have one when I was covering high school sports.
What about the town of Asherville?
Don't know Asherville.
That was back in 1905.
I don't know Asherville. I would guess that it's I would guess that we've seen the demise of Asherville.
Jewel, that's Mankato.
Jewel's
now.
Easy.
Right? Jewel's Mankato.
I don't know about that. Jewel might still have a high school.
Do you know Alton or Delphus?
Sure.
Okay. Glasgow?
Oh, yeah. Glasgow.
Simpson?
No, I don't know.
That might not have been Kansas. Who knows?
Glasgow's, again, up in that Manhattan, North Central area.
What about Bernard?
Don't know that one.
Yeah, these go way back. It's kind of interesting to look at.
Well, maybe you can write a journal about it.
You never know. Sounds like something I would do.
What were the high schools in Kansas in 1901?
That's a great question.
Will the high schools look like in Kansas in 2101?
Probably more similar to what they are now than what they were in 1901.
I'll be gone. You'll be gone.
Oh, I'll be long gone, unless I live to 119.
Erin, your daughter could still be in her mid-90s by then.
She'll be 95.
You never know.
They played Kansas Wesleyan in 1901. Beloit did. They played Fort Hays State. Like, what's going on here?
Who played them?
They beat Fort Hays State.
Who did?
Beloit in 1905. under Coach Alpha Broomage.
Beloit has a very rich history in athletics. I know
they clearly
find that hard to believe.
Well, if they go back to 1901, then it's not that hard to believe.
Beloit is a happening place still to this day. And I take my hat off to Beloit. You know, back in the day, they had two offensive linemen, defensive linemen, who both, I believe, made the All-State Top 11 team in the same year. Wade Wentling was one of them. And the other guy's name I can't remember, Grant Thieroff or something like that.
You know that they won the state title in 75.
Well, yeah.
And 76 and 77.
This is the era where those two guys played.
You know the coach at that time?
I can picture him. He was a pretty tall guy with dark hair. Give me the first name.
Clayton.
God. Clayton. Oh, my gosh.
The last name is much easier than the first name.
Give me the first letter of the last
name.
W.
Yeah.
Clayton Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
Three-time state champ for Beloit.
Why are we getting so deep into Beloit?
I don't know.
Why don't you look up the guys who were the All-State players?
I don't know.
Wade Wentling and the other guy.
I'll try. But we got to take a break right now.
Well, we have to take a break, yes. We have to take a break. We'll have that information for you a little bit later in the show.
We sure will.
Wade Wentling, who went to K-State, and then the other kid went to West. I don't know. Well, we'll test my memory.
Well, if my phone would load, I'd have it right now, but it's not.
We'll be back shortly. We'll talk with Brian Hanley on Big 12 football. Stay with us. Bob and Jeff, KFH.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right. Brian Hanley joins us on the IHOP hotline. Our second time talking to Brian. He is a host of Big 12 Insiders podcast, also an analyst for GoPowerCat.com, former Kansas State offensive lineman. Hi, Brian. Welcome again. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're happy to have you. So here we are. I think the last time we talked, we were talking about the magic of Big 12 football and how so many teams seemed to be in the mix, and we weren't sure how it was going to shake out. And here we are now, later in the season, things have shaken out. Who's going to play for the Big 12 championship? What do you think?
Well, the first thing is, I don't think there's any question that BYU is going to make it. I mean, unless they just have a total collapse. But they would have to lose three games in order for that to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think you got BYU is going to be in there. And then Colorado. Colorado's playing as good as anybody in this conference right now. I don't see them lose it. I think there'll be a tough game against Kansas. in Arrowhead in a couple of weeks. I think it will be tough, but I still believe that their talent and what they do, you know, on a down-to-down basis is enough to be able to cause some problems, enough problems for Kansas, and I think they win. So I think it's going to be BYU and Kansas. Or, excuse me, Kansas BYU and really, Colorado.
Kansas really has a chance to do a lot of upheaval here with a win over Iowa State. They have BYU this week, then Colorado, and they look like a team that, my goodness, I'm not going to count them out at this point.
Nope, and that's the thing about Kansas. I think myself, I did it on Big 12 Insiders, and I just kept talking. I said, eventually, Kansas is going to figure this out. They have way too much talent. They're too well coached, and it took a while, but I think they actually got it figured out against Houston. Now, they lost to Kansas State, but I think most people that watched that game, if you're being honest, they controlled that football game. They just did. Kansas State made a play at the end of the game to win it, don't get me wrong, but Kansas controlled that game, and then they go and they beat Iowa State. Kansas has gotten this figured out. The talent was always there. That was never the issue. It's just sometimes you find a way to lose in spite of yourself, and that's what they were doing, and it looks like they have figured that out because they really whipped Iowa State this weekend. The final score doesn't give you any indication of how physically dominant they were in that football game.
So out of those two teams that you mentioned that you think will play in the Big 12 championship game, BYU and Colorado, which do you think is most positioned to make some noise in the college football playoff if and when they advance that far? And do you think a one-loss BYU team, if they're not the conference champion, should or will get into the college football playoff?
I'll answer the latter question first. If BYU were to lose in the Big 12 title game, they absolutely should be in the college football playoff. You can't penalize teams for running your regular season and then losing in a game, you know, because there's going to be SEC and Big Ten teams that don't qualify for their championship game that are going to get into the college football playoff. So you're going to tell me a team that runs their regular season and because they qualified for a game that others couldn't in their conference and they lose it, you're going to keep them out? Now, don't get me wrong. The College Football Playoff Committee can do whatever they want, and we've seen them do crazy things before, but I just don't think it would be fair, and I think they would get in along with Colorado or whoever the conference champ would be. On the other side, if it is Colorado and BYU, I think Colorado wins. The reason being, I think Colorado does enough physically up front now. They would be able to slow down what BYU's doing as far as running the football. But BYU doesn't have the secondary or the athletes to be able to stop what Colorado would be trying to do to them. They don't have that on their side. I'm not saying BYU's a bad football team, but if you just look at it man for man, sometimes it comes down to Jimmys and Joes, and Colorado's got more of them. They just do. And they figured out this physicality thing that was always their Achilles heel. They figured that out after the Nebraska game, or basically the second half of the Nebraska game, and they're playing really good football right now.
Talking with Brian Hanley, former K-Stater, host of the Big 12 Insiders podcast. You can catch that on YouTube. Is there a specific day and time when that's available, Brian?
It comes out 5 days a week. Right now we're having shows, not a specific time, but we've got shows that come out Monday through Friday during football season. We'll see what it looks like during basketball. I would imagine it'll be the same because basketball, it's just basically every day. I mean, there's a game, you know, every day except usually Thursday and Friday in this conference. But other than that, so we'll be coming out with content, I would suspect, through basketball season at a minimum 3 days a week.
Good stuff. So let's get to your alma mater, K-State. They went and really dropped the ball at Houston, and I could tell just from following you weren't too thrilled with that outcome and the way K-State played. Where do they go from here? I know there's still a lot that they can do and a lot that they could attain, but how damaging was that loss? And what do you think the future looks like for K-State?
Well, the game was, look, Kansas State didn't look prepared. We had talked a couple of times on Go Power Cat. We talked a couple of times on Big 12 Insiders about how mentally and maybe physically they were worn down after going to Colorado and then going all the way across the country to West Virginia, coming back and playing your rival in an emotional game against KU. But to be honest, guys, I don't want to give them that excuse. If you're supposed to be the type of team that a lot of people thought you were, or maybe you thought you were, those are football games you just have to win. And good teams find ways to win even when you're not at your best. Whether I get it, it was a problem in Houston. I understand all of that. But Houston had to play in that same weather, and they figured out a way. So Kansas State should have been able to figure out a way. Was it a bad game? Yes. Whatever the reason being, they didn't play well when they could have ended the football game up 19-10 in the fourth quarter, and they didn't do it. But when you let teams hang around, we've seen it a million times. You let a team that you're better than hang around and hang around, they will figure out a way to beat you if you allow them to do that. And I felt like Kansas State did that. Looking for the future, as far as the future of this year, I think Kansas State, look, they got a really tough three-game stretch here. Arizona State is really, really good. Not enough people are talking about how good they actually are. They've only got two losses on the season, two losses in the Big 12. This is an actual elimination game, per se, between Kansas State and Arizona State, because the loser has no chance to get to the Big 12 title. The winner still has an opportunity. And then they play Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a good football team. Maybe not as good as Arizona State and not as good as maybe they want, but they are definitely better than what people thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. And then Iowa State is Iowa State. I know they've lost two games, but we're not just throwing them in the trash heap just yet. So it's a really challenging final three games. We're going to learn a lot about the character and the ability of this Kansas State football team the last three games. And here's the thing, guys. They go out and win all three of these games. Even if they're not in the Big 12 title, they would have a 10-win season. And I said it earlier today on our power rankings that came out on Big 12 Insiders. Kansas State wins 10 games. When does 10 games not mean anything anymore? I get you might not be in the college football playoff, but if you're telling me that having a 10-win season doesn't mean anything, then why are we even playing the games?
So you said Colorado kind of figured out the physicality in the second half of the Nebraska game. Do you point to a similar point for Kansas? Was there an adjustment that they made? Was it maybe just things were going their way? You can't really explain it. They had a lot of bad luck in that early part of the season. Is there anything tangible that you've really noticed that has shifted in Kansas?
Well, the one thing is Jalen Daniels stopped turning the ball over. That was their big problem. He was turning the ball over and at an alarming rate and not giving them enough opportunities to have their defense or their offense be out there and score points. You know, a lot of teams haven't really slowed Kansas down. Kansas has slowed themselves down, and they were just turning the ball over and at inopportune times. And then even in those games that they lost five games in a row where they had the lead in the fourth quarter. Like, their defense just couldn't figure out how to get a stop to win the football game. But part of that, you think, okay, it's all defense. Well, it's not. Your offense has also got to help. And if your offense is not turning the ball over at an alarming rate, that helps, number one, your team rest, but also helps you put more points on the board, which Kansas just doing it or wasn't doing. I think they figured out some stuff. They had that bye week before Houston. They blew out Houston, and then they played Kansas State. They controlled that football game. But, again, the turnover bug bit them. The end of the game, Jalen Daniels fumbles, and they lose the game. They don't turn it over against Iowa State, and they whip them. So it's really just a matter of that is what has been going on with Kansas this year.
Brian Hanley with us, Insiders, Big 12 Insiders podcast, available 5 days a week on YouTube. So, Brian, way back in late August, we were trying to figure out this Big 12 in its really inaugural season with this many members. And the following teams were all identified as potential conference champions: Kansas, Central Florida, Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State. Here we are in mid-November. Those teams are 6-26 combined in the Big 12. What happened? Are we not as smart as we think we are?
I think some of that is true. And here's the thing. It was everybody picked those two. It wasn't just, you know, one or two people said this or that. Everybody had these same teams at the top of this conference, and they ended up being at the absolute bottom. So, yeah, number one, it is a little bit that none of us know what we're talking about. Number two, there's quarterback issues. You know, at UCF, they picked the wrong quarterback. They got a transfer. That didn't work out. Oklahoma State, I think we saw a lot of their quarterback issues be masked last year. Well, they got brought to the forefront. Quarterback issues. Utah, quarterback issues. Arizona, even at Arizona, people like Fafita hasn't played even remotely close to as good as what he did previously. Kansas, quarterback turning the football over a ton. So you go and you look back at it, it's these teams have had quarterback issues, and that'll get you beat in college football. In any level of football, if you have bad quarterback play, that'll get you beat.
And before we let you go, I do have to ask you about Utah. They seem to be kind of sourpusses in their new conference. What's going on with them? Are they this genuinely unhappy in the Big 12? Are they having regrets about leaving the Pac-12? What are your thoughts there?
I mean, mine's pretty simple. They didn't want to leave the Pac-12. I've talked to a number of people there, had them on the show. They just didn't want to leave the Pac-12 because they had been trying to get into a big-time conference for years. They finally get into it, and they've been in there and had a ton of success. Well, the conference, look, you had the bad leadership. It's not anybody's fault. The Pac-12 had horrible leadership, and it fell apart. So they didn't want to leave. Well, they also had this thought, this crazy thought, I'll just throw that in there, that they were better than what they were and think, well, we belong in the Big Ten. Well, if the Big Ten wanted you, they could have taken you. Like, you were available. The Big Ten didn't want you. And the Big 12 gave you a life raft. And for some reason, their administration, coaching, they believe that they are better than the Big 12. And they presented, they said it. They came out and acted like it, and that's what is going on here. They believe they're better than what the Big 12 brings to the table. Well, then they got a taste of what Big 12 football was all like, and now you don't hear any of them. You hear their ADs spouting off, I was proud to be in the conference, and now I'm not, because you got beat, because your football program basically over the last 2 years has taken basically a backseat and a nosedive, especially this year. And now you can't handle it. Well, I'm sorry. And my whole thing, guys, if you don't want to be in the Big 12, you can leave and go back to the Pac-12 conference right now because they would take you in a heartbeat. They got an open spot. You can go and go be happy if that's where you want to go. And I don't think anybody in the Big 12, including the commissioner, is really going to care if they go because I'm, quite frankly, I'm just tired of it. Either you want to be here or you don't. You act like you don't. You say you don't. Well, then just leave. Leave and go back, and everything will be fine. The Big 12 will be able to pick somebody else up and move on. And quite frankly, and I'll just say this to end it, and I apologize for being long-winded, I thought the Big 12 should have fined them $1 million for what the athletic director did. I thought they should have just fined them $1 million and then told them, here's the deal. Either you pay the fine and you stay in, or you know what? You can leave the conference, and we won't fine you anything. And you got 24 hours to decide. That's what I thought, because you can't go bashing on the conference. It's one thing to bash officials and you're mad because of a call. It's another thing to bash the conference because you're mad about a call. That should be unacceptable at every level. I didn't think the punishment was near harsh enough.
I'm glad I asked you that question. I'll tell you that right now. Brian, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. We'll have you on again as we get ready for the college football playoff and bowl season, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Brian Hanley, Thanks. Big 12 Insiders Podcast. That's a good guess right there.
Very good.
Here's Todd Rice, head football coach at Garden Plain. They have won 7 games in a row. They have Beloit at home on Friday night in the Class 2A playoffs. Coach Rice, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be with you. Appreciate the coverage.
I had this recollection earlier of being at Garden Plain for the coldest game I could ever imagine. It was, I thought it was 1975 against Beloit, a 20-0 win. But now I see old school GP on Twitter saying that game was played in Beloit, and they even include a story about the coverage of that game from a guy I knew at the time, Rod Smith, in Beloit. So I can't imagine what game I'm thinking of, but I just thought I'd share that with you.
That's pretty good. You know, both programs, pretty storied past, but hopefully we don't have that weather again.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about your team, and of course you have all the tradition in the world. You're coming off a 28-0 win over Phillipsburg. You've got a junior by the name of Emmerich Hayes who rushed for 202 yards in that game on 35 carries, was also your leading tackler in that game. That's the kind of two-way football we don't see as much anymore. Tell us about that kid.
Right. Yeah, Emmerich, a pretty special athlete for us. You know, came in, we had an 1,800-yard rusher at our B-back last year in Gage Lee, who's now at Friends. So big shoes for Emmerich to fill this year. Really explosive athlete, really instinctive. Got a really good core of seniors around him, and has just kind of evolved and grown into that position as the seasons went.
You know, when you go into the playoffs, you probably expect some difficult games. Maybe the first round won't be as much, but you know, you have two shutouts. You've scored a bunch of points against Douglas and Phillipsburg. Now you have Beloit, which appears it will be much more challenging. How do the conversations kind of change coming off games that, you know, you performed extremely well in to now maybe your one of your toughest tests of the season? How do you kind of readjust from that?
Yeah, you know, I think all year we've just talked about, you know, getting ready for the next week, the next opponent. You know, we face, you know, two defending state champions early in the season. You know, played against some really good teams, you know, really physical Kingman team, really good Haven team. And so our guys' mentality, I think they've done a really good job. Our coaching staff's done an excellent job of keeping our guys in their perspective, not letting, you know, other voices get in their head. But, you know, what do we have to do to try to go 1-0 this week? And, you know, I think everybody that played last Friday, those games were impacted by the weather quite a bit. And so you just don't know until you get out there. We tell our guys we're not guaranteed anything. I love the old Nick Saban speech, you know, expect nothing. You show up, you go out, and you fight for what you can earn that night. So our guys have embraced that pretty well.
Talking with Todd Rice, he's the head football coach at Garden Plain. They've won 7 in a row heading into their game against Beloit on Friday night. So you just go down this corridor, this Highway 400 corridor, and you run into Goddard Eisenhower. Conway Springs is a little bit off that corridor, but still generally in that area. You run into Garden Plain. Then over to the north you have Andale, and then you have Cheney. That's not a very big square mileage area, and yet all five teams are still alive in the playoffs. All have excellent football programs. What's going on out there, man?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, I look at our situation. I think we've got a, you know, perfect deal here with just a high level of expectations. You know, our administration does a good job setting the platform, and then the community and the parental buy-in. We had 95% attendance in our summer weight room last summer. And, you know, I think the buy-in, you know, everybody subscribing to what it's going to take. We look across the district, you know, Andale sets a high standard. And then, as you mentioned, the teams in our area, you know, we play Cheney every year. We play Conway Springs. Kingman has been on a heck of a run as well. And our guys see that, and they want a piece of that. Our girls programs under Coach Clark and Coach Castleman, you know, have been, you know, Final Four, final top team all the time. And so our kids just, you know, they know the history and the tradition, and they want to leave their mark when they get their opportunity.
This is your third year at Garden Plain. You went 8-2 last year. You have another really good season this year. You're kind of cycling through that first class of, I guess it would be sophomores, maybe you played varsity young, maybe even some freshmen that year. But how do you go about looking to build a program long term? What is your approach to that, and what do you see as Garden Plain's potential in the longer term?
Yeah, I'm real excited here. I came from a larger school, but when I came here, we implemented a 7-12 program, and so our junior high rotates in practice with us. So we split our coaching staff, and so if our junior high, the 7th and 8th graders, are working defense, our high school is working offense, and then the players move and the coaches don't. And so we have an opportunity to coach our guys for 6 years. They hear the same terminology. They have the same position expectations. We've got a really good group of freshmen in here now. Those guys are in their third year in the system. And, it's exciting to develop those relationships and have that continuity. And, the same thing with our strength program. We run our youth program right into our middle school program, into our high school. And I think the consistency, of what we've been able to provide has been a big part of it. Our coaching staff has pretty much been intact, our administration, and gives us an opportunity to build off of those things.
What is it about Beloit that you're paying special attention to as you get ready to play them? They've also lost a couple games this year, but they've been playing extremely well of late as well. So what about Beloit keeps you up a little later at night, Todd?
Yeah, it's a little bit different looking team. When they're in 2A, and they average 240 to 250 across their front. They've got some pretty good depth to what they do, so they look really physical up front on both sides of the football. The only common opponent watching them with, playing Phillipsburg. We're pretty familiar with Ellsworth because we've played them the last couple of years. Unfortunately, they've ended the last 2 years. And so they're a similar style to what we've seen from Ellsworth, just a physical group. They got a set identity. I remember being back, clear when I was back at Clay Center when Greg Koenig was at Beloit. Boyd just had some fantastic runs then. And, they built a program back and, just set identity. It's going to be hard-nosed physical football.
Well, congratulations on another really good year. If you're playing at this time of the year in Kansas high school football, you've had a really good year. Todd, we really appreciate you coming on. Do you know who runs the Garden Plain, old school Garden Plain account?
Yeah, I do.
Yep. I need to get with that guy, man.
I'll get with you. He does a great job. And
I need to know what game that was at Garden Plain that I covered that left me frozen. I need to know that.
I'd like to hear that as well, and we'll see someday what he says about how last Friday was as well with the rain and all that.
That couldn't have been fun either, huh?
That's what makes this game so special and, braving the elements and just getting after it.
Well, thank you again for your time, and best of luck Friday night.
All right, thank you.
All right, Todd Rice, the head football coach at Garden Plain, the Owls, with a game against Beloit coming up Friday night. Hopefully old school GP gets with me.
That'd
be our friend Jim 95.
Yeah, I bet that's him.
Well, he's an Andale guy.
How about Harold Bouchard writing a story about that Garden Plain Beloit game?
He covered it with my friend Rod Smith. I didn't cover that game. I got to figure out what game it was. It might have been 76.
Well, if anybody, Garden Plain old school guy, is going to know.
Hopefully I hear from him.
Oh, here it is right here. Frozen kick gives Beloit second straight 2A title. It was a game in Garden Plain, but it was Beloit. It was Beloit Garden Plain.
In what year?
76, November 28th, 1976.
That's it.
He sent it to us.
Who did?
Well, he sent it to me. Old school GP.
Why isn't he sending that to me?
Well, I can tell you who it is.
Well, we'll talk about it off the air.
I'm not gonna.
We've got a game coming up in hour number two. It's Bob and Jeff, Max Bauer back in the studio, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. Don't forget, your favorites available for $6 at IHOP Monday through Friday.
You want the noise?
Stay with us.
Because here it comes.
What? The noise brought on you because here it comes.
This is my job.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I do this show. I watch college football. I still have a Heisman vote. You don't see me pointed out as, who's this clown that voted for Tommy Dorsey?
Yeah.
By the way, Tommy Dorsey, a great musician back in the day.
I hear you loud and clear.
Jeff Lutz.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
He's a band leader, you idiot. And you are an idiot.
Really funny. Really funny.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Thanks to Old Time GP, we don't want to give away his identity, on Twitter, a guy who is very averse on Garden Plain Athletics history, maybe more than that for all I know, but cleared it up. It wasn't 75. It was 76.
It was.
And the game was won on a point after in which the Beloit kicker made the first kick, but it was nullified because of an offside penalty on Garden Plain. That makes no sense.
No, that makes no sense.
So the Beloit coach, Clayton Williams, after the game, told me exclusively that he disagreed with that rule.
Well,
and even though they made the next kick, although it was nicked by a Garden Plain defender, can you imagine if they hadn't made that one?
Crazy. Yeah, I'm going to have to that's going to be an interesting point in my Friday Five now. I'm going to have to start looking for some of the history. I have not thought to do that, which is weird because I go back to the old newspapers all the time when I'm doing On This Day. So now I'm going to have to go back and see if these teams have played
a long time ago. You don't want to do that on every game.
No, but this one's kind of interesting because they only played – in the 70s or maybe one.
I knew it was Beloit Garden Plain, but I guess, 75, I don't know what game I was covering that day in 75, but it wasn't this one. But it was a state title game the next year.
And it was played in Garden Plain, which is something else they don't do anymore.
Yeah. I remember one time covering a game, a state championship game that was played on a Friday night. For whatever reason, up in northeastern Kansas, in the Kansas City area, and covering that game. And then the next day, somebody played at Liberal, Bishop Carroll, I think, in a state championship game on a Saturday afternoon, and I was able to hitch a ride on an airplane.
An airplane?
Out to Liberal. And I had written something that offended the Liberal people. And there were signs and people jeering me. It was
how did they know who you were?
Well, I covered the state in those days.
But it's not like you're going out to Liberal a whole bunch.
In those days, the Eagle went everywhere. In those days, including Liberal.
I get it.
So it was a much different time, but they knew who I was. I mean, this is going to sound bad, but because I covered high school sports. And we distributed the paper throughout the state of Kansas. Pretty much everybody knew who I was. Cared about high school
sports. Your picture was in the paper, I guess, occasionally.
Well, yeah, of course. You don't think that added to the subscriptions?
No, it didn't.
That's the only reason my picture was in the paper. The publisher came to me one day and said, "Hey, Bob, you're a good-looking guy. Do you mind if we put that picture in the paper? We think it can increase sales."
No wonder the paper went bankrupt.
And I said, go for it. Why don't you ever play along?
It's not as fun to play along.
Trying to think of the next thing.
Try again.
A way to detract from what I say. I don't get it.
Try again. Try another one.
Anyway, old school Garden Plain guy who I'm communicating with as we speak is a young guy. Says he's 34. He said he collects all Garden Plain game film, and he's got a name that everybody in Garden Plain would recognize, and I'm not going to give it away because he doesn't want me to. But
are you sure? Did you ask?
Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff I love. I love the people who really get into the history of their respective school or team. And that's, man, that's gold when you got a guy like that. Garden Plain, you're fortunate.
Yeah, there's no point.
You got a great history to talk about, and I like that. I like that a lot.
There's no point in doing it if you're not going to go all the way and get all the game film and all the stories. So, yeah, good for him.
Maybe he says his grandpa played football in the 40s at Garden Plain. Well, this story just gets better and better.
It does. And like you said, a name that people would recognize.
Well, I love it. This is why we talk about high school sports on this show. Because in my opinion, from years of doing this, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
Now, we're gonna talk a little KU basketball because they had a big one against North Carolina. Now they have the Hall of – what's this called? I can never remember what this is called.
I don't know.
Where they
– Duke plays Kentucky.
Four-team kind of not round robin. They only play one game. So K-State play – or KU plays Michigan State tonight, and then you'll have Kentucky-Duke in the nightcap. Where are these games tonight?
I think,
you know,
they're in New York, aren't they? They used to be in Chicago. Now
they move them every year.
Now they're
Jeff.
In New York.
They it could be in Indianapolis.
No, they haven't moved them. It's not like they have 35 different sites.
They move them every year.
It's in Atlanta.
Right. That's my point. I get so tired of arguing with you on the most trivial of things.
You can't tell me they weren't in Chicago for a long
time. They were. They played it in New York. They played it in Indianapolis. They switched that up. They never switch up the four teams. Champions Classic.
Sounds right to me.
But Kansas
and Michigan
State's
still in it for some reason.
Michigan State's good.
No, they got two championships, but come on. They haven't done anything of relevance in this century.
Oh, my God. What nonsense.
I'm just telling you.
What utter.
Win a title, Tom.
What utter nonsense.
Is he the Mike? He does have a title, so I can't call him the Mike Gundy of college basketball. But at some point, you know, you gotta cash in on one of these. You got to break through. But it's not happening for him.
Well, they've won their first two games against future Shocker opponent Monmouth. They won by 24. And against Niagara, they won by 36. So, Tom Thurber, the Michigan State fan that we know, will be paying attention.
I'm sure
he will. I'll go home tonight. I made something last night that I love. Can't get my wife because she doesn't like black beans. So I found this recipe online. It involves corn, black beans, rotel, chicken, canned chicken,
ugh,
and chicken taco mix. And you just put it all together. And
don't get canned chicken. Just cook some chicken, man.
It calls for canned chicken.
Really?
And the canned chicken we get is very good.
It's not.
It is. And I really like it.
You know what's better than canned chicken? Fresh chicken.
You don't make chicken.
Of course I do.
No, you don't. You've never put your hands on a chicken in your life.
That's true, but I've cooked chicken.
So you go get chicken.
Yeah, we have chicken all the time. You know I've cooked chicken before.
I've never seen you cook chicken in my life.
I brought you chicken.
You bring me. I brung you. Try to wrap your head around the English language.
I bring you chicken in the past.
You can't say I bring you chicken.
I bring you chicken in the
past.
That's
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, get over it.
I brought you chicken.
Yeah, sure. I sure have. And I'm good at cooking chicken. It's very good.
Well, what I made, I like.
Steak, I'm okay. Not great. Pork, pretty good.
We're thinking about getting a new room put on.
What does that mean?
Which you love. You know what I'm talking about.
Outdoors?
our screened-in porch, we're thinking about making that a little more permanent, right?
Sure.
So that we can be out in that room more often. Right?
Make it a little climate controlled.
Right. As it stands right now, we don't get out there very much.
Too cold.
But we might also add a little area where we could put a grill.
For who?
For me.
Come on, man. We got a free grill several years ago. A nice one.
Yeah, I didn't have anywhere to put it.
$800 grill. You gave it away.
I didn't have anywhere to put it.
You could put it anywhere.
I didn't
you
have a place.
You can go grill in your garage. Or
I didn't have a place
out
for
on the,
it.
I don't have
a place for it. Now I have a place, maybe.
You had a place. You had that enclosed that you could move it around where you want.
No, you can't do that with a roof over it. It'll smoke.
I'm saying
up
you
the
could
roof.
At least you could store it there. You could move it around to where you wanted to cook from.
Well, I can't. There's nowhere to cook.
People cook in their driveway all the time.
No, we don't. No, no, not in Kansas.
Yeah, in
you
Kansas.
You might see that in Mississippi. No one cooks in their driveway.
Of course they do.
I've never been driving down the road, looked over and seen, hey, we got vittles. No.
I don't know what that means.
Vittles.
Why are you yelling?
Because you're making me mad.
Do you of course not people know, grill in their driveway.
Do you not know what vittles are?
No, I don't.
Did you ever watch the Beverly Hillbillies?
Just part of the first episode. We've talked about this.
Really? That's all you watch?
Yeah, I was going to start watching it and then just didn't.
What made you stop?
Nothing. Just
you didn't find it funny?
No, I thought it was good.
Well, then why'd you stop?
No reason. Just started watching the first episode. Didn't have time to continue, and then did not continue after that.
Well, I just would say that in Wichita, I've never seen anybody cooking in their driveway.
Uh-oh, dude is mad.
What's he mad about?
He's mad that you gave away your grill.
Well, too bad. I didn't know dude at the time.
You said he could have it for $350. Is that true?
I don't remember that. And I might have gotten a better price.
Of zero?
Chris Davis ultimately got that grill.
Right, for nothing.
I think he gave me $400.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You gave it to him and
no,
you know
I
it.
No, I didn't.
What a... How
of course
cheap.
I didn't give it to him.
Unbelievable. You get a free grill and you sell it? You should give me
free.
$400. Yes, it was.
I'm going to get top dollar.
Unbelievable. That's gross.
Really?
Did you pay taxes on it?
Sure.
No, you didn't. That was such an under-the-table deal.
Well, I appreciate it. Whoever arranged for that.
Traeger.
Well, good for them, Traeger.
Why don't we get free stuff anymore?
Why don't we don't earn it? We're not there yet.
We'll keep
working at it.
I was told, we'd start doing endorsements, and then that never happened. So what are you gonna do?
We get 9 years in, we're still paying our dues.
And if Tommy Caster's listening, that is a finger pointed toward you. What happened?
By the time I'm 75 or 80, I figure we'll get some good stuff.
I sure hope so.
I mean, I'm on this show every day. I'm battling out
here.
Got
a good game for you coming up, too.
I'm doing the best I can. And if that's not good enough, then I'll wear it.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
we're 10 years in. I think
rewarded.
We're doing fine.
I got a free grill and a free pillow. That's
I still
that's
have my
basically
pillow.
It.
How much you sell your pillow for?
I still use it.
Absolute. Just
yeah, I've been looking for the perfect pillow for 70 years. I still have.
I think I have one.
No, you do?
I think so.
You love your pillow?
I do.
I've never loved my pillow.
I only use one pillow now.
Is
I used
it
to
that
use...
pillow we got for free?
No. But I still keep those around.
Well, what kind of pillow is it?
I don't know.
Well, look it up and send it to
something
me.
Something I think my mother-in-law gave Shannon or me. And
well,
just,
can you look into that?
And it just
that?
Sat in the closet forever, and I'll give it a shot.
Can you look into that?
I'll try.
I'd like to try that. I have in the neighborhood of 50 pillows.
You need one of those smart pillows. One of those that conform to your head. That's what this one does. It's beautiful.
I've had smart pillows. I've had dumb pillows.
Is that
pillows.
What they're called? Smart
I've
pillows?
I've had all kinds of pillows. Nothing really works. I had high hopes for these other pillows. They haven't done the trick for me. So I got this one pillow that really puffs up, and I kind of like it, but it's more valuable to me to caress that pillow at night.
Why do you want a puffed up pillow to caress?
Well, I caress it.
Why?
I put my arms around it.
Yeah, I understand, but you don't want to do that with a thick pillow.
Oh, I love it.
You want a thin pillow so you can squeeze.
No, I want
the thick one. Presses against you.
I want that thick one to caress.
No, that's a bad move.
That's a very satisfying.
I can't imagine. Sounds terrible.
I think you go home after a lot of these shows and think to yourself, why am I doing a show with my dad?
That never happens.
I think it does.
No,
if you were being completely honest, because I wouldn't have enjoyed my dad talking about a pillow he caresses.
You think I would have
wondered had he lost his mind. My dad in a million years wouldn't have talked to me about caressing a pillow.
You know what I do a lot of nights?
You understand that?
Yeah, whatever.
Pay attention to me. I don't like it when you just ignore what I say.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
I have many answers to that.
So what I'm saying...
I get what you're saying. What I like to do is...
Would my dad approve?
I think he would. I lay out the pillow next to me, and Nettie sleeps on it. It's her little bed, I call
Tinker,
it.
I'm Tinker.
Love Tinker.
Misty won't sleep on a pillow, and here's what she does. Takes my wife a little time to get ready for bed, so Misty lays in the bed with me and then stays with me every night until about 1:30 or 2 a.m. And like clockwork, that's when she gets down, and Debbie sleeps in a recliner to help her with her neck and back pain. And she goes down and sleeps with Debbie.
Very sweet.
Every night. It's this dog has an internal clock that is amazing.
Yeah, a lot of animals have
that. Between 8:30 and 9 every night, she gets up. She goes and sits in front of my wife, demanding yogurt.
Really?
Yes.
What flavor?
Vanilla.
Well, as we should all be able to demand yogurt. I'm going to try that with my wife tonight. Just sit by her and say, yogurt.
More from old Garden Plain guy. Not old this guy, but historical Garden Plain guy. His grandpa was offered to play at Wichita State in 1944. Turned it down to work on the farm.
How about that?
This guy's becoming a story in and of itself.
A little bit.
Pretty amazing.
I think he's maybe, you know.
What are you and Duda
whining about? We're giving him an inch, he's taking a mile.
I didn't give it away.
But still, the fact that he sold is even worse. Here's Brian Rader. I cook in my driveway. You have witnessed it firsthand. And I have.
My friend Chris Wendt says Costco sells pulled rotisserie chicken in bulk. It works great for casseroles like you described.
Yeah, that'd be better than canned.
Well, I'll look into it.
Canned is upsetting to a lot of people.
I like this canned chicken.
Yeah, but that's upsetting to a lot of people.
Not really.
And you've upset a lot of people.
Not really. If it's good enough for my dog, it's good enough for me.
Okay, well, I want to see you eat dog food.
I'll get
then.
Down there and eat with her.
Please do.
You know what? Tonight, as she's eating her, we've made a dish for her. We include some dog food, but it's a dish that consists of canned chicken, Vienna sausage, and rice.
Awful.
She loves it.
Yeah, that's she does.
Duda, go do what you do.
Can we get to the game?
The show. We'll take a break. I'm blocking Duda.
No, you're not.
We'll take a break.
You
come
owe
back.
Him.
The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on the
week. It is Max.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, Jeff has a game for us. I'll compete with Max.
Max is playing.
Against Max, I am 37-0.
You'll probably win this one too, but it might be a little
You never know. Max is a due.
I've got 26 of these, so you're going to pick a number between 1 and 26.
Did you ask Max if he even wants to play?
Don't care. You're both going to pick a number between 1 and 26, going back and forth. I'm going to give you the origin of a professional sports team name. You're going to tell me what team I'm talking about. If you get it without me telling you what sport, you get 2. If I have to tell you the sport, you get 1. If you don't get it, the other person can steal.
Max, would you like to go first?
Sure, why not?
All right, pick a number between 1 and 26.
I'll take number 1.
All right, this team was named after a poem by Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay. The Baltimore Ravens football.
That is correct.
So easy.
That one was easy. Hey.
I mean, what kind of nonsense is this?
That one was easy.
Then what's his next question?
You're next.
What?
It's your turn.
He gets 2 points for that?
Yes, of course he does. He didn't have to be told the sport.
Well, I know you probably made number 2 hard because number 1 was such an easy one. Number 10.
Number 10. This one is hard, but if you think about it, you might get it. This is the first team with corporate sponsorship.
You got to be kidding me.
Okay.
The first team with corporate sponsorship.
Yeah. It's tough, but if you really think about it.
Well, I don't have time to really think about it.
Well, go through the Rolodex.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Not a bad guess, but that's incorrect. It is in the NFL.
Max gets a shot?
No, you get a shot now to guess it after I've told you what sport it is.
Well, this is just almost impossible to think about it.
It either is or it isn't. Do you have a guess?
Give me a second.
5 seconds.
The Green Bay Packers.
That's correct. They were sponsored by a packing company. Max, a number between 1 and 26, please.
12.
12. This team was named after the 1967 World's Fair. Five seconds.
Houston Astros.
Not a bad guess, but it's incorrect. It is...
Wait, don't I get a chance?
No, he gets after I tell him it's a baseball team. He gets a chance to guess.
Expos.
That's correct.
Ah, so easy.
3-1 after...
Number 3.
Number 3. This was an emblem of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's an aspect of his New Deal program. It was an emblem of a New Deal program by FDR.
When you mention that, Jeff, all I can think of is Wedding Crashers and Grandma.
76ers.
Incorrect. It's an NFL team.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it could be anybody.
Good.
Almost impossible to think about.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I'm trying to think. 49ers.
Incorrect. Max, would you like to guess?
Well, it has to be one of the original ones. So, I would say the Steelers.
That's incorrect. It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Should have gotten that, man.
Eagles are emblems. Max, 1 in 26.
18.
18. This team name honored its franchise's first coach.
Cleveland Browns.
That's correct.
I mean, the guy, this is not right.
This is what it is.
This is you've got some of these that are just layups, and I get the ones that are impossible.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Get a better one. They're not all easy, and they're not all difficult.
That's a yelling at the guy that picked the right lottery numbers in a quick pick, Bob.
Well, I mean, Max, shut up. You're getting preferential treatment. 15.
This team was named because of its city's burning during the Civil War.
Golly, man.
5 seconds.
Don't, if you ever say 5 seconds to me again.
4 seconds.
I don't know.
It's an NHL team.
An NHL team?
Yes.
Oh, easy.
I don't know NHL. What continent?
Remember, it's the city's burning during the Civil War.
Yeah, and
Five seconds.
You're making me look like a fool.
They're in North America.
Try to help.
You're making me look like a fool. Shut up, Max.
Max.
The Atlanta Flames, who became Calgary, and then the Atlanta.
Yeah, I was going to say Atlanta.
Yeah, that's correct. Max, you're up.
What slam dunk do you have for Max now?
We'll find out, won't we?
I'll take 21.
21. Their team name was inspired by a classic hymn recorded by Louis Armstrong.
Oh, my God.
Classic hymn.
5 seconds.
Utah Jazz.
Incorrect. It's an NFL team.
NFL team.
Five.
NFL or NHL?
NFL. 4 seconds.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Would you like to
Patriots.
Guess?
Patriots.
Incorrect. It's the New Orleans Saints.
Doggone it.
The Saints go marching in. Yes, that's correct.
You know what? My turn. Let's go.
Yeah, what do you?
I'm so perturbed right now. I can't see straight.
And remember, these are mostly, but don't have to necessarily be teams that still exist.
Number 26.
Number 26. It's named after a livestock and horse show in the area, in the city.
Broncos.
Incorrect. It's a Major League Baseball team.
A livestock and horse show.
Yes.
And it's a Major League Baseball team.
Yes, that's correct.
Rangers.
That's incorrect. Max, would you like to take a guess?
Sure. Baseball.
5 seconds.
Can't think of
anything. It's the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, that Royals. Yeah, okay.
Max, you're up.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, though.
It's still 6-1. 7. This team was named for its rich harness racing history.
Oh my gosh!
And a lead car in a.
Say that again.
It was named for its rich harness racing history.
Hmm.
5 seconds.
Harness racing history.
Come on.
I don't know.
NBA.
Can't think of NBA. I don't know.
Do you like to guess?
If you do that buzzer sound again, I'm going to knock
like
you down.
I should have a buzzer.
Would you like to guess?
Harness racing history.
Yeah.
And lead car, Pacers. Yeah,
that's correct. There you go. You're back on the board. Pick a number.
Five.
Five. This team chose its name because it wanted to align with the stadium's summer tenants.
The what?
It wanted to align with the stadium's summer tenants.
Cardinals.
Not a bad guess, but incorrect. It's an NFL team.
Well, that's what I... Are they both NFL teams?
No. This is an NFL team. They wanted to align with its summer tenants.
An NFL team?
Yes. 5 seconds.
Well, hold on.
All right.
Give me a second, man. Golly. I don't like any of this game.
It's the Chicago Bears.
You didn't give Max a chance.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. Did you know that, Max? Be honest.
I would have thought the Giants.
Okay. Your turn. I was hoping some would get some of these right. This
was the hardest game ever.
Max, you're up.
16.
16. This team was named because its first owner was named Tex.
Oh, my God. Really?
Tex. Five seconds.
So easy.
Dallas Cowboys.
Incorrect.
What?
I don't know.
That's incorrect. It's an NHL team.
I should know that, but I Tex.
5 seconds.
Los Angeles Kings. I don't.
Incorrect. Would you like to guess?
Tex.
Yeah.
The only Tex I know of that ever owned a team was Tex Schramm, right? Tex. Dallas Stars.
You're in the ballpark. There goes Texas Rangers. The New York Rangers.
What?
They're the New York Rangers.
That doesn't even make any sense.
There goes Texas Rangers. Texas, not Texas. Texas
Max,
Rangers.
Max, do you understand any of that?
I understand it, but I had no idea who originally owned the Rangers.
Number 20.
This team was named for its state's Scandinavian culture.
What? Oh. The Quebec Nordiques.
Incorrect. This is an NFL team.
Minnesota Vikings.
There you go. Surprised you didn't get that right out of the chute. Max, back to you.
Number nine.
They were named there because of their previous state. It was their most notable geographic feature.
They were named because it was the most...
He said something about their previous state.
Their previous location.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
That is correct.
Well, why not just give it to him?
Well,
why not text him the answer?
I actually did. You're up.
This was the last one.
It is? I love this game.
This is a lot of work. You got to give Jeff credit. This is a lot of work he put into this. Come on now.
I mean, I appreciate
right
the work. 25.
25. It's an offshoot of baseball's first team. It's an offshoot of that.
An offshoot.
Yeah.
Of baseball's first team.
Yeah.
An offshoot.
Yeah, an offshoot. Kind of paying homage to that team.
The Dodgers.
Incorrect. It is a Major League Baseball team, however.
The Yankees.
No, the first team was...
I don't know.
The Red Stockings, We're talking about the Red Sox.
All right. On that note.
But didn't Cincinnati have a team, the Cincinnati Red Stockings, at one time?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then now the Boston Red Sox paid homage to that. They didn't. They weren't at the Boston Red Stockings.
No.
They were the Red Sox.
That's the most contrived fix game I've ever
heard. How about
heard.
This one? 19th century mining boom.
Well, I don't know.
The Denver Nuggets.
All right.
How about this one? Their uniforms were similar to Princeton.
Similar to Princeton?
Yeah.
The Pirates.
The Detroit Tigers.
I saw that Jerry Faust passed away at the age of 89. One of the iconic high school coaches of all time at Moeller High School in Cincinnati, where he accumulated a 178-23-2 record. So good that Notre Dame hired him.
Crazy.
Out of the high school ranks in 1981. He lasted only 5 years with the Irish, 30-26-1. Then he went to Akron, where he was 43-53-3. So the college game didn't work as well, but Jerry Faust was an incredible high school coach. His last 6 years at Moeller, he lost one game.
That's the high school of Ken Griffey Jr.
Well, it's a legendary, at the time, a legendary high school football program. May still be, for all I know, but
might be.
One loss in 6 years?
Hard to do.
And Notre Dame said, you know, we've tried some things here. Let's go for it. And I at the time,
probably not fair to him or them.
At the time, my thinking was, good. Give it a shot.
Yeah, that's not ever going to work, though.
Well, who are you to say that?
I'm me. I'm me.
Give me your credentials.
You think Randy Dreiling could go coach USC?
Well, I don't know. Not now. He's an older guy. Jerry Faust, 44 years ago.
Well, maybe Brandon Clark could go coach.
Well, I think Brandon. I wouldn't put anything past Brandon Clark.
Maybe Brandon Clark can go coach Oklahoma. It's possible.
Why are you doing that?
I'm saying
why?
Why what?
Why? Why are you going there? Why are you bringing our friends into this? Why are you making it personal for me?
How am I making it personal?
Because if I say, no, I don't think Brandon Clark would succeed at Oklahoma, then you've put me in a tough spot.
I'm putting things in perspective. I'm making it.
But why include our friends?
I didn't know Jerry Faust.
Why not just go Coach X?
I didn't know Jerry Faust. I don't know if he had the credentials to coach at Notre Dame. Here's a guy I do know. Here's a way I can think about that. Here's how I can put that in perspective.
If you can coach, can't you coach?
Weren't you a writer?
I mean, the difference would be recruiting.
No, it's a completely
different
game.
You can coach.
That's not true.
I remember when Eddie Kriewel went to Wichita State, and it didn't go well. But I didn't have anything against that hiring.
So my
they only gave him 1 year.
So my bitty basketball coach, Michael Biggs, who led us.
Could have been fantastic.
Could coach, right? Could coach. Led us to a lot of wins. Let's sign him up to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Now you're bringing another friend of ours into
it. Why don't we ever hear from Mike Biggs?
And while you do that, you end up kind of ridiculing them. You kind of belittle
them. Mike Biggs takes it as an insult that he couldn't coach the Bulls.
You kind of belittle them.
Yeah, that's what you think. You're afraid. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid of anything.
Don't be afraid of criticism.
I don't belittle
people.
Don't
be afraid of the truth.
I don't belittle people.
I'm not belittling anybody.
My friends.
I didn't belittle anybody.
I'm a loyalist.
In fact, if I was Brandon Clark, I'd be honored that I was being talked about in those terms.
We'll talk. We'll see what Brandon thinks.
Fine. Call him up.
I'll get him on the show.
If you don't, I will.
I think there's no doubt he would respond better to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I think that's the truth.
That yes would look a lot different on your iPhone screen.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
No, absolutely not.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll have Andover Central coach Derek Tuttle. We'll talk about their game upcoming with Wellington. I'm fascinated by that game.
It's a big one.
I think it's extremely interesting. And Andover Central looks like the real deal and not that Wellington isn't, I'd make that about a 7.5-point game if I was. Can we do that?
I don't know. I think Wellington will.
Can I even theorize on a line?
You probably shouldn't.
But can I?
You can do whatever you want. You're kind of belittling Wellington, if I'm being honest.
No, I would never belittle
That's
Wellington.
That's what it sounds like you're
doing.
By the
way, I spoke at the Lions Club in Wellington last week.
How'd that go?
Very well. Or 2 weeks ago. Sometime.
I'm not going to make the...
Have you done any Lions Club speaking
I'm
lately?
I'm not going to make the obvious joke.
Have you done any Lions Club speaking lately?
Mm-mm.
All right, right.
Let's get off the air before I really offend some people.
What are you going to... Oh, they're old people. good. You got to go talk to old people. And they weren't all old people.
No, of course not.
They weren't.
You spoke to them, and then you spoke at their funerals a few days later. Is that wrong? Was that bad? What? Oh, you made me say it. You made me do it. That was
Where's the fool alert?
That was on you.
Where's
our drop from yesterday that I was promised?
He played it.
What? Oh, that?
Yeah.
Really? That was the drop he chose?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, good job, Max. It was pretty good. Pretty good drop.
Don't be like that.
I'll try not to.
No, really. Why do you make fun of older people?
Because
you know I'm old.
I know. Not that old.
Why?
You're not that old.
I mean, people who are my age have lived through it.
Of course.
And have done far more for our society than you clowns mopping along at 40, wishing you had better jobs.
And to the Wellington Lions Club, you people are fantastic.
That's disingenuous.
That was just a joke to tweak.
That meant nothing.
My co-host.
That meant nothing. We'll be back here tomorrow.
I'm going to start a rival organization called the Tigers Club. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.